today. Amen. Yeah. I thought so too. You. Anyway, let me tell you something. You know, you will get as much out of worship as you put into worship. All right? I'm not saying that worship is for you, but what I'm saying is worship benefits you. Okay? You tracking with me this morning? Good, because you're going to have to really try to keep up, all right? We're going to get right into the message today, so I'm going to do our Bible declaration right now. So why don't you stand with me and take your Bible and raise it to heaven and repeat with me. Are you ready?
Ready,
all right. All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I mean, isn't the Lord good? Amen. I mean, there's nothing like His presence. And as you're being seated and as you're getting things settled, why don't you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, okay? And we're going to read verses 23 through 25. And we will read this passage as a prep, if you will, for today's sermon, which is entitled, Don't Miss the Message. You snickered. Say it with me. Don't miss the message. Amen. Amen. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. All right. The Bible says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? Amen. Amen. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Amen. Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the message?
Let's pray. God, once again, we just thank you that we can be here with you. God, we know that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, God, but sometimes we just aren't aware of your presence. And Father, thank you that today you revealed your presence to us in such a great way. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we'll just embrace it today. Father, I thank you that we'll be able to push out every distraction that would try to come in and keep us from learning today, God, from changing today. Father, I thank you that you're going to help remove those distractions. Father, that we would just focus. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. I thank you that he seeks you, Lord, that he seeks your heart, God. He seeks your word and searches your word. Father, I pray that you would just touch him today as he speaks. We just thank you. We love you, God. We need you. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Gary. If you notice that I'm going like this a lot, I made this big mistake this morning. You never trim a white beard and wear a black shirt. All right? So a lot of times I'll be talking to you, and I'll notice, and it's just all over me, but it's okay, right? It's okay. Anyway, I'd like to focus on verse 25 of the passage that we just read because it's so key. It's so important to our spiritual health. Plus, I think you're going to see that this verse might be talking about the days that we're living in right now, okay? The truth is that the average attendance of many believers in the church today is right around once every 2 or 3 weeks, whether they think that they need it or not, all right? for some reason, we don't just see the importance that was once placed on being in church anymore today. Whether that reason is because of COVID and the fallout from that whole debacle, you know, or just a sign of the times that we live in. But attendance is not what it used to be. You can meet somebody in church on this Sunday and not see them again for 3 weeks and wonder if maybe something happened to them. It makes me think about the scripture that's in Luke 18:8, where it says this. It says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Now, you know, I'm not such a hard nose, okay? I know that there are absolutely good and bona fide reasons instead of excuses for people not coming to church. I mean, I know that. I mean, sickness is a reason, not an excuse. I think they call it the Saturday night flu. It never comes Monday through Friday when you got to go to work, but on Saturday, it's quite common among Christians, all right? Then there's the weather, all right? The Saturday night storm, you know, can you believe that it would actually rain or snow in Michigan? I don't know. Maybe you stayed up too late gaming. How many of you know that you really need to prepare for Sunday morning before Sunday morning? Okay? That may mean on Saturday night. One guy told me, and I think I've told you this before, that he wasn't in church because the ferret cage needed cleaning. And I'm going, is that right? Another one told me this. Another one told me that they had to return, this is back in the Blockbuster days, okay? Another told me that they had to return the movies that they had rented the night before to avoid a late fee. It really is a good reason. But there are a plethora of reasons why a person can't make it to church on Sunday morning, okay? Now please, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. But not coming just because it isn't a priority, that's pretty sad, isn't it? You know, what's funny about preaching a message like this is you can't feel too bad because you're in church today. Okay? I believe, and I believe that you believe this too, okay, that God has called us to be a people of passion concerning the things about Jesus. Amen? To be a people of purpose, that we will live our life on purpose with intentionality, and to be a people of priority, putting God first and the things of God first into the proper place in our lives. And you can say to me, and people have said this to me, well, of course you feel that way about church, Pastor Wes. I mean, come on, you eat, breathe, and sleep church. You live here. Well, no, I don't, but I spend a lot of time here. And you, Pastor, you don't think that any of us should miss a single Sunday ever. Well, that might be true, okay? You can laugh a little bit this morning. It's okay, okay? Are you hearing me? Okay. That might be true, but the more real truth is this. The thing is, you really don't know when God is going to use you and when he's going to use your testimony to be an encouragement and the strength of someone else who is in a dire time of need. You know, I've said this before, and it remains true today, and it's going to be true forever, okay? Church just might not be about you today. And the question is, are you mature enough to handle that? Are you mature enough to handle that it might be about Gary today and an encouragement that he needs? Or maybe it's about Serena today. Are you okay with that? And that maybe you won't walk away from here with this great revelation, but you might walk away from here having ministered to someone who really needed you to minister to them. Are you with me? I hope so. The thing is, what if the encouragement can't be given to you because you're not here? Okay, you need encouragement. You need someone to speak into your life. You desperately are hoping that God will speak to you, but you don't come here, and you just can't hear it because you're not here. Or maybe, you know, there's somebody else who needs to hear you say something because they need encouragement, but they don't get that encouragement. Are you with me? You see, the Holy Spirit uses people. Amen? He uses people to bring hope to our hassles, okay, to bring closure to our chaos, and to bring strength into our stress. What am I saying? Don't miss the message. Okay, don't miss the message, not from the pastor and not from the people. Again, it's said that people have a tendency to skip church, if you will, and stay away from other believers when they get depressed or down or discouraged, all right? And you should find this next statement as no surprise, okay? Discouragement is one of the devil's most brutal tools, all right? It is. There are so many other reasons why people stay away from church, but discouragement, it is one of the primary reasons. I mean, maybe they're embarrassed that they aren't as spiritual as brother or sister so-and-so because their faith isn't where theirs is. Maybe they're ashamed because they're still struggling and still dealing with that same old problem, and they're thinking that people, you know, maybe they should have gotten past that by now. Well, what's the matter with Gary? Why is he still dealing with that? And they don't want anyone at church to know they're still struggling with the same old problem, so they disappear from church. Let me tell you something this morning, okay? And please hear this. The temptation to isolate is nothing more than bait, okay? The temptation to isolate is nothing more than bait. And the devil loves to isolate you because then he can manipulate you. Really? Yes, he can. He can manipulate your thoughts, as in making you think that everyone is sick of your problem, everyone's sick of you, or the way you are. But not only that, he can manipulate you into thinking that people are talking about you. You know, I preached a sermon, I don't know if we were even in this building yet, and I don't think I was titling sermons back then, but the idea was, you know, people aren't talking about you. You know why? You're not that important. Amen. You think people are talking about you around the supper table. You think they're just having you for supper, you know, for dinner. And you know what? They have other things to worry about. You're just not that important. Okay, I won't preach that one again, okay? But the devil can manipulate you. But let me encourage you with this, if I could. Don't ever let embarrassment or discouragement keep you away from other believers. Never. Never. Because it's the church. And come on now. It's the church. It's the people. It's other Christians, if you will, who will pull you from the prison that you might find yourself in. You might just get a word that will just change your whole life. Amen? I was given a word this morning, and it just moves me. And I needed to hear it. And glory to God. Glory to God. And I wouldn't have got that. And you can say, well, yeah, but you always come to church. No, I don't. I take a vacation once in a while, okay? But I was here, and because I was here, I got that encouragement. And that's going to happen to you, too, or it's not going to happen for you, too. See, the truth is, and this is for all of us, sometimes you need the strength of others. Amen? And sometimes you need to hear their testimony. You need to hear them say, I had that problem too, but God. I was hooked on drugs too, but God. I drank like crazy, but God. I know you want to quit smoking, but you can't seem to, but I used to smoke too. You know, God came in, he helped me, and he'll help you too. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. God is amazing, and things he'll do for us. And sometimes, once in a great while, you need the message that God has put on your pastor's heart. All right? So please, don't miss the message. Not from the pastor and not from the people. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says what it says. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm sorry, I read King James with it not even being written down. Hebrews 10:25, okay? We're going to tear that apart just for a moment, right? The word forsaking is taken from the Greek word, can you put that up there? Thank you. Ekatalepo, okay? Ekatalepo. Okay, it's actually a compound word of three different Greek words. The Greek words eg, then kata, and then lepo. The first word eg means out. Kata, which is the second part of the word, means down. The third word, lepo, means behind. These three words compounded together simply mean this, all right? One who is down and out and behind, all right? One who is down and out and behind. It describes someone who is extremely discouraged and feeling down and totally defeated and even depressed. Maybe they feel depressed because they have the impression that everyone else is succeeding in their Christian life, but they're failing miserably. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, come on. Or maybe they feel, maybe this is someone who is simply weary. You ever been simply weary?
Yes.
From fighting a very long, hard, difficult battle with the enemy, and it's just easier to back off than it is to press on. Have you ever been there? Where you just want it all to go away. Sometimes it just seems to be too much, and sometimes you just want to quit. I mean, have you ever fought so long and so hard that it would just be easier to back off and just stop pressing on? If that's where you find yourself, or if you ever find yourself there, and I want you to hear this, really hear this, then it's time to dive into church, not drive away from church. Amen. Oh, come on. Then it's time to dive into church, not drive away from church. But regardless of the reasons why, this word describes a person who feels left out. Have you ever felt left out? And who feels down again, and who feels far behind everyone else. I mean, it's not like they don't read the Bible every day. They do. Okay? And they pray every day. And they even tithe and give to missions the way they should. They're doing everything right. But they are still feeling down and they're feeling tired of fighting. Did you know? I was taught this when I was just barely had gotten saved. You know where I learned it? I learned it in church, by the way. But did you know? The devil likes to attack us when we're weak and weary. Come on, he really does. That's why he likes to make us weak and weary, because then we're more susceptible to whatever it is that he wants to attack us with. And the precise moment a person begins to feel like they're failing or they're falling short of everyone else or falling behind everyone else, at that precise moment, Satan begins to speak. And he does. Oh, we shouldn't talk about Satan, but we're gonna, okay? And he says things like this, and you know, maybe you never hear these things, but I would be willing to bet you do, okay? He says things like, oh, just stay home from church today. Come on. You don't need to go down there with all those rejoicing, happy people. You know. You know that you're in no shape to be with them today. So just stay home by yourself. I mean, that's the thing to do. You should do that. You're very, very merciful to those other people, right? And then there's always the, you deserve it. You deserve it. Stay home. After all, you're so busy, and God understands. After all, you can just watch church from home today. Thank you, COVID. You don't need to go to church anyway. You don't need them. And after all, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, that last statement is true. It really is. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But from what I've learned over the years, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but it's important to go to church to stay a Christian. Come on. Come on. Yeah, amen, amen. And say this with me. Don't miss the message from the pastor and not from the people. Why does Satan say these things to deceive us? Why does he want you to miss the message? All right? Because he knows that if he can get you to, and if he can manipulate you into missing the message from the pastor and then missing the message from the people, then he can keep you down and discouraged and defeated and keep his foot on you. Please hear me. You want to know one of his greatest things about this morning is? What he wants more than anything? He wants you to miss the message. He wants you to, I'm not up here condemning you. I'm up here encouraging you of what you could do for God by coming to church, what you could receive from God by coming to church, and what you could hopefully receive by hearing the message. All right. Why? Because the message you get in church, whether it's from me or from the people, may make you muster the moxie to move forward. Okay? And some of us just need that moxie to move forward. We need that encouragement to move forward. Have that thing that says in you, I am not going to quit. I don't care how much he attacks me. I don't care how much people attack me. I am not going to quit. Sometimes we just need that. And sometimes we get that from other people. You know what? We don't get it from other people when we stay home away from other people. Amen? I mean, it's true. You can read the Bible at home by yourself, and you need to read the Bible at home by yourself. You should never forsake that. But fellowshipping with other believers is essential for everyone. It truly is. Why? Why is that essential, Pastor? Why? You receive encouragement from other believers that you can't get anywhere else. Okay? And I don't care what you say. Boy, the sermon was great. The service was great when I watched it on TV. It is not the same. It is not the same as being here. It's not the same as experiencing the presence of God. Sure, you can feel the presence of God coming out of your pad or your, okay, your TV or whatever. You know, I believe that God can do that and make you feel his presence, but there's something about being among other believers when this whole room feels the presence of God and the expectation that God is going to do something. You can't get that on the television. You can't get that on your computer, your pad, your TV, your phone. How can you watch a service on your phone? Maybe I'm just old. Okay. But anyway, you receive encouragement from other believers that you can't get anywhere else. You experience worship in a way that you can't experience worship by yourself. There's two facets of worship. It's when you worship corporately with everybody, and it's just amazing. And then there's that time that you worship yourself alone with nobody else around. You know, you should be able to do both of them because they both have different dynamics that come with them. I mean, when you worship alone, you can feel the presence of the Lord, and you can know that you usher the presence of the Lord in by yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing like being among a bunch of believers who are worshiping their hearts out and feeling the presence of God in those times. Go to a concert sometime, a Christian concert, and just see what it's like. I'm not talking about a concert where they play entertaining music. I'm talking about a concert where they play worship songs. And you have hundreds, if not thousands, of people praising the Lord. It is moving. Amen? Amen. You can't get that when you stay home. Also, you receive a personal message from God's word that you won't get when you're by yourself. You won't get it. And then there's always a chance, that you might receive a personal message from God himself through another believer. You know, that's amazing in itself. I mean, so many of us pray things like, God, I haven't heard your voice in a long time. God, I can't get to you, God. God, I just want to hear you. Give me a word of encouragement. But yet you won't walk in the door of a church to let somebody else do that for you. Well, you will, obviously. You're here. Okay. I don't know about you. I just don't. But I know that my desire and my goal is to be used by God. Amen? How about you? I mean, you want to be used by God. You know, to be encouraged by God is great, but, you know, there's nothing better than being used by God. And you don't know if, okay? Say, I don't know if. You don't know if you will be used by God to be that encouragement for somebody that needs that encouragement on that Sunday. All right, and Neil, I shouldn't say this, but Neil, you had a simple, short word for me. What was it?
I know your name, son.
Yeah, that was it.
God knows your name.
Amen. Four words. Well, I needed to hear that, okay? You don't have to know why I needed to hear that, but I needed to hear that. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why church is the last place the enemy wants you to be, all right, when you're feeling low. That's the last place he wants you to go. He doesn't want you to be around those people that can possibly give you an encouragement. So he talks about them being joyous people, you know? Those people that are always happy, you know? You know what? We aren't always happy. Sometimes it might look like that, but that's not wrong either. Okay, that's not wrong either. To make yourself be happy, even though you're in the pits, to worship the Lord for who he is, and maybe you haven't heard from him, and you're feeling really down, but it's not wrong to do that with everything that you have. But church is the last place. Say last place. That the devil wants you, because he knows if you go to church, you will be touched by the presence of the Lord, and you will be encouraged by other believers, and your faith will be fed, and his hold on you will be broken. Hallelujah! And in the end, you'll crawl out of that hole. All right? I don't know about you, but I've been in some stuff sometimes when it just feels like you're in a hole, you know? And you're waiting for somebody to bury you in that hole. But, you know, God lifts you out of that hole before somebody can throw dirt on you. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? The truth is, the devil works overtime. And, if you're here for the first time today or listening for the first time today, I don't like to talk about the devil. I don't like to give him any more credit. But we battle a very real enemy. Oh, no, he's a defeated foe. Oh, then we have to throw away Ephesians 6:10. You know, where we battle not against flesh and blood? Some teachings sound really good, but, you know, in actuality, the real life part of that is what's true. The devil's a defeated foe. Amen. Definitely, he is. But to think that you will not ever have any trouble that comes from him, you're crazy. Okay? Just crazy. Tell me this. Why would you isolate yourself when you're in the need of encouragement? Remember, when he isolates, he manipulates. Absolutely. And this is the third time I think I've said this. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Okay? That when he isolates you, he manipulates you. Yes. Hebrews 10:25 could be translated as follows. Again, I'm not retranslating the Bible. I'm taking apart the Greek words, and it's the amplified. Well, there's already an amplified version. I don't know. It's my version. When you're feeling down and depressed and feeling like a failure, feeling like you're falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time to stay away from other believers as some are in the habit of doing. So instead of letting the devil or your flesh get the best of you. Because, you know, what the devil does is he just plants seeds, and then you cultivate them by thinking about them, and you water them and watch them grow, and next thing you know, everybody hates you, nobody wants to be by you, you're a terrible person. And no one has ever said that. But that's growing in your life because he's planted that seed. So don't miss the message. Okay? Don't miss a message. Go to church. Go to church. Why? So you don't miss a message from the people and from the pastor. All right. What time is it? Uh-oh. That's one good reason to go to church. I happen to have two, all right? Here's another one. Let's read verse 25 again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The word exhorting is a powerful word. It's the Greek word parakaleo. And it's a compound word of the words para and kaleo. Para means to come alongside, and kaleo means to call or to beckon, or it can mean to speak to someone, okay? When those two words are compounded together, it gives us this picture of someone who is standing right alongside of another, urging them and beseeching them and even begging them to make the correct decision. let me just explain it this way. In the ancient Greek world, this word was often used by military leaders before they sent their troops into battle. Rather than hide from the painful reality of war, the leaders would summon their troops together and speak straightforwardly with them about the potential dangers of war and the battlefield and even the possibility of death. But the leaders would tell their troops about the glories of winning a major victory as well. So rather than ignore the clear-cut dangers of battle, these officers came right alongside their troops and urged and exhorted and beseeched and begged them and even pleaded with them to stand tall, throw your shoulders back, look at the enemy straight in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, and face the battle bravely. That's what you and I have to do, and I'm telling you right now, is face the battle bravely. In other words, these leaders, they exhorted and encouraged their soldiers. Walking by faith and doing the will of God sometimes places us right in the middle of a spiritual battlefield. Am I right? And sometimes those battles that we end up fighting, they just aren't won quickly, okay? And if you know someone today who was discouraged because their fight isn't over yet, it hasn't been won yet, then you need to speak to that person truthfully and in a straightforward manner, the way the commanding officer would speak to his troops. People need to hear a passionate, now hear me please, a passionate, heartfelt word of exhortation, or maybe they need to hear a heartfelt word of exhortation. Maybe you need to hear that. Maybe you need to give it, but maybe you need to hear that. And I'm going to say it again, don't miss the message. Don't miss what I'm saying. Don't miss a message from me, and don't miss a message that comes through the mouth of somebody else for you today. The word exhort in Hebrews 10:25 can mean the following, okay? Again, when you're feeling down, like a failure who is falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time for you to stay away from other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. That's the very time that you need to come together for the sake of encouragement so you can face your battles more bravely. Have you ever thought of coming to church as coming together for encouragement? But that's what it's for. That's what it's for. It's to come and get an encouragement from someone, again, and I'm going to repeat it, just who actually was where you are right now. They were there, but they're not there anymore. Praise God. And someday you're going to be able to say, I might not be where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be. Amen? So do you know anyone who needs encouragement today? Then invite him to church. Invite him to church. Think back on all those moments in your own life when someone came alongside of you to encourage you. And determine in your heart today, because you know, we have to determine things in our heart. We have to make a decision to do them, amen? Or they can be easily stolen out of our heart. But determine in your heart today to be a real comrade in the Lord to another Christian soldier. Purpose in your heart to be that person who speaks words of encouragement to those around you today. You know, and I only know this because I've heard there's people that are guilty of this, okay? You come to church, you see someone, and it's pretty obvious they're having a bad day, you know, and they're in a place where they shouldn't be. So it's like this. Hey, how you doing? Because you don't want to hear it. But that's why you're here. Do you hear me? Say, but that's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here.
To be an encouragement to someone else, that hopefully they would be able to hear the word of the Lord from the pastor, and that in that they could receive encouragement. There is nothing better than to receive encouragement directly from the heart of God through another person. Because there is times when you can't hear God yourself. Amen? There's times when you just can't get through all the mud, through all the muddle, and get to the throne. But there are times like that when people can hear God and talk to you. Those are words of wisdom. Those are words of knowledge. Amen? We pray before the service, every service, God, give people words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You know, move in your gifts. You know, let people not be afraid to be used in those gifts. And I know that some people are afraid, and that's a whole other sermon. But don't miss a message. Amen? Don't miss a message, you know, not from the pastor, not from the people. All right, one more time. And I want you to say this right after me, okay? Don't miss a message.
Don't miss a message.
Okay, like you mean it, okay? We could do this so much quicker if you just said it like you meant it the first time. Don't miss the message.
Don't miss the message.
Not from the pastor.
Not from the pastor.
And not from the people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have a declaration that I want to do today. How many of you know that many times when you make a declaration, you do it? Amen? It's just like determining in your heart or you know, just settling things in your heart that you are just going to do them. That's the only way that you're ever going to do them. How many of you have said things to other people about what you're going to do, and you said it because you thought you told somebody that you do it? Actually, that isn't a bad idea. Because when you do that, you make a declaration to somebody else that you're going to do it, so there's a degree of accountability there. Anyway, why don't you stand with me, please? What I want you to do is to say this after me, okay? Okay.
I declare
that I'm going to be a major blessing
in someone's life today.
I declare the Holy Spirit is going to open my eyes and show me exactly who I'm supposed to encourage.
I declare
I'm not going to miss the message, not from the pastor. And not from the people. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. And amen. 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 God is so good.
Yes, he is.
So good. You can be seated.